I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. So we see these protests on campus, and I've been holding back on this for a little while, waiting to see where this was going to go. Not too long ago, I wrote an article about protesting and how to be prepared if there's protests on your campus or in your town, or what your police should be considering and looking at, what your schools can do. And at the time, I also predicted that it was going to move from these college campuses, these elite Ivy League kind of colleges, to other colleges, and then it was going to end up in our high schools. And we would see this in our high schools with our younger kids getting involved in this. And in New Jersey, there was a big walkout at one of the high schools. I want to say it was Newark High School, but it might have been Irvington High School. And they decided they were going to walk out in protest of what Israel is doing. Well, I think it's important to probably go over some of those things that I suggest for your town, your police, your schools, your universities, if you're involved in any of those organizations. The article is, it's really in-depth, and it covers a lot of the concerns. How do you prepare yourself? So there's going to be a big training event for all of these kind of municipal police, colleges, all these kind of things in North Carolina and Charlotte in a couple of months. And several of the people running this event read my article, and they've reached out to me and asked me if I would come and be a speaker at this event, and I could talk about my solution. You know, what can we do here? You know, what is it that we can do? Because I tried to formalize that and document some of the things that we probably need to do. And we're going to go over that a little bit here today. I think it's important to get it out there and to see if we can understand what needs to be done. But we'll cover some other things too as we go here. So this judge in the Trump trial. Now, the problem with the Trump trial, and in New York, and all of them, actually, is that they are clearly blatant attempts to interfere with the election. And I was listening to a Fox News program the other night, and not one, not two, but three or four people called in with the same concerns that so many people are voicing. My friend from Massachusetts, Yankee Doodle Keith, he's been writing to me and trying to discuss this and how he's getting frustrated every single day. Where is the relief for all of us that see that this is bogus, that this is a coordinated effort on the part of many on the left to keep Trump out, to keep him locked in a courtroom so that he can't go out and, you know, run for president and campaign? It couldn't be any more clear than what it is. But there is nobody. And that's even, you know, Ted, my father-in-law. We talk about Ted all the time. Ted's 91 years old, just had another birthday, 91, and he's doing well. And he is very frustrated because in the world he came from, when something was wrong like this, when you could see clearly people were doing this for political reasons, to hurt other people, to control what was going on, you would think that there would be somebody that would step in. One of the courts would step in and say, hey, you can't do this. This is America. You know, this is blatant, and it's not going to be allowed. Well, what I try to explain to him and Yankee Doodle Keith and anybody else that's concerned about this is the reality is there is no outside group that steps in before the court trial is over. The government at all levels can charge you, the citizen, with anything that they want in their purview. And there's really nothing you can do about it. You know, take it from the most simple of things. You're driving down the street, and a police officer who's a representative of the government, the local government, and the community, of course, that officer pulls you over and says, you know, you went through a red light. Here's a ticket. It's going to cost you money and points. There's a penalty for that. All right, well, we're trying to protect the public. That's what law enforcement does. By giving you the ticket, it's supposed to be painful so that you learn not to run through red lights because you can cause an accident, right? It makes common sense. But the reality is, can you fight that ticket? I mean, you can go to court and you can argue your case, but I've been involved in law enforcement for 30 years, and I can't tell you how many times I had a citizen come in and go, listen, I didn't run through the stop sign. I did stop. And the officer testifies, no, I saw you run through the stop sign. And the judge will say, yep, guilty. You know, pay the $300 fine, take the 2 points. Because you just can't fight City Hall is really the reality. It's what that's really all about. Well, you can go up in that level. I mean, there are people in your community that have positions of authority that they can come around and they can write you a ticket because your grass is too high. And what are you going to do? Fight it? Person's going to come out and say, hey, grass is supposed to be less than 4 inches high, and it was 4.5 inches high. I measured it, and I issued him a summons. Well, you're going to have to pay that fine. There's no way you're going to beat that. And that's on such a small scale, right? Then you go up even bigger. Now maybe you go to something criminal. You get involved in an argument with somebody, a screaming match, whatever. You could be charged with disorderly conduct, even if you were sticking up for yourself. So as it goes up the scale to the point of now when you're dealing with the Department of Justice, the FBI, any of these federal agencies, you're not going to be able to protect yourself. They can come out and say anything they want and charge you. And it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to federal court. You know, it's not like a traffic ticket. You just walk in and plead your case. You got to have an attorney because you're looking at serious jail time. And how are you going to protect yourself from that? Well, I didn't do it. Well, that's not going to work. And that's kind of what's going on here with Donald Trump. These people have concocted these cases based on a house of cards because they want to get him. They want to charge him criminally. Why do we think, and I'm not saying anything you probably don't already know, but when I look at the facts here, I guess if I broke down the facts of, you know, well, why do you have such an opinion that this is all conjured up? Because these things that he's on trial for, these four major cases, were things that happened years ago. They could have charged him at any point back then. They've had other federal agencies look at some of these things and say, no, that's not a crime. We're not going to charge. We pass on charging. But you got this DA in New York City, Bragg, who is charging Trump in a New York state court with a federal charge that he cobbled this together to make it a charge. Now, he took it to a grand jury. He has the authority to go to the grand jury. And there's an old saying out there that you can indict a ham sandwich. And what that means is the grand jury process is a one-sided process. So to understand that, basically the prosecution goes into the grand jury and presents only the information they want to present to the grand jury. Now, grand jurors are people that get a subpoena. You know, you're going to serve on jury duty, and you're going to go in, and the grand jury consists in most places of 22 citizens, and they serve for X amount of weeks. I know where I'm from. If you were a grand juror and you were brought in, you served for 20 weeks, I think it was, and you came in every Monday. And on Monday, they would hear drug cases. On Tuesday, they'd hear assault cases. On Wednesday, they would hear robbery cases, that kind of stuff. And each day had its own grand jury that served for 20 weeks. And these people would hear only the information presented by the prosecutor. There was no defense attorney in there. There's no counter argument. The prosecutor presents their understanding of the case, their facts, and then the grand jurors vote to either indict the person, which means they will go to trial, or a no bill. No bill means no, we're not going to charge the person. But because it's run by the prosecution and they can present anything they want, they're the only ones in there making a case. If you want someone indicted, they get indicted. It's as simple as that. And then that means they're going to go to trial. They're going to have to hold over for trial. So when you look at that process, you have no way to fight that. So this guy Bragg, a prosecutor with the authority to convene the grand jury, bring them together, and then he says, "Hey, listen, here's I'm going to make this case. Donald Trump paid hush money, which is perfectly legal. It happens all the time. People are paid off to shut up and go away all the time. Donald Trump did this because he wanted to affect the 2016 election. Now, how long ago was that? 8 years ago? The 2016 election? Why is he on trial in 2024 in campaign season? Why didn't they get him in 2017 or 2018 or 2019 or 2021, 22, 23? Right? They didn't go after him until he's running for president again. And basically, that is not a New York statute. Right. And the DA in New York can only prosecute New York state crimes. They can't prosecute federal crimes. That's when you have to go to the federal grand jury system. Right. And those people, the Department of Justice, who would do that prosecution, they looked at this and said, no, there's nothing here. You know, he didn't violate any laws. Bragg, DA Bragg, has determined that he's going to twist and turn the federal law and make it fit into the New York state law, and therefore he got Trump indicted, and now we're having a trial where he's trying to make a case that the reason Trump paid off this woman, this Stormy Daniels porn actress, was because he wanted to affect the election. And how many witnesses have we seen come forward now that have said, no, he didn't pay her off to affect the election. He was paying her off because it would bother his wife. It would be embarrassing, which is why many, many people pay people off to shut up and go away because something that they have is embarrassing. The next thing is this catch and kill concept of these stories, like the National Enquirer would pay for a story and then kill it. Also very, very common. Just because someone has a story to tell, and somebody pays you to shut up about it, that I now own the rights to your story and I gave you money, so therefore you're going to shut your mouth about it, that's not illegal. They're conflating criminal actions with civil actions and private contracts. So if I see my neighbor likes to go out of his house in the morning and he likes to play cards and drink beer with his dog, his cat, and a squirrel, and he does this every single day, and that's bizarre. That's bizarre behavior, right? That is a little strange, but maybe he likes the dog, the cat, and the squirrel. And then my neighbor decides one day he's going to run for public office. And I say, hey, wait a minute. This guy's weird. He plays cards and drinks beer early in the morning with cats, dogs, and squirrels, and I have pictures of it. And I'm going to go to the local tabloid, and say, hey, listen, look what I got on this guy. He's running for office, and look what he did. Well, that guy finds out about it. And either the neighbor himself can say, this dude, I'll give you $10,000 to go away. Oh, okay, I'll take $10,000. I'll give you the pictures and the story, and I won't say anything about it. Perfectly legal. If there was a tabloid, the Enquirer found out that this neighbor of mine is, maybe he is a public official already, and now he's going to run for Senate. And it would be a scandal to find out that he's playing cards and drinking beer early in the morning with squirrels and cats and dogs. And that would make him look weird. It'd be embarrassing to him. It would be damaging to his campaign. And I happen to be friends with the guy. And I say, you know what? I'm going to buy that story from you, neighbor. I'm going to give you $100,000. You're going to sign a non-disclosure and you're going to go away. Perfectly legal. Right? These are contracts that people can make to keep your mouth shut. It's been going on forever. What the DA is trying to say here is that, well, the reason that he did that, the reason Trump and his attorneys paid Stormy Daniels was not to keep her mouth shut, but to affect the election so people wouldn't know about it, and therefore it's affecting the election. See, there he's conflating and twisting facts and reality to make the point he wants, which is we want to lock up Donald Trump, get him out of the election, and put him in jail so he can't run for president. Same thing with Fannie Willis down in Georgia. She's doing the same thing. Same thing Jack Smith is doing down in Florida with these records. All of these cases that Trump has been indicted on all come within months of each other in the year of an election. It is crystal clear that there is a miscarriage of justice here, or as they're calling it, lawfare now. They're using the courts against individuals. And if this is allowed to continue, if it is allowed to continue, it's going to become the norm. Now, not for the Republicans, because they're too weak. They would never turn around and do a thing like this. But it will be for our friends on the left. They will use this over and over and over again if it's allowed to stand, period. So how does it get to stand? Well, it has to go through the system first. You have to have your trials because the appellate division can't really reach down and say, nah, this is not right, so we're going to dismiss all these charges. It has to go through the court system. Trump has to either be acquitted, which then the case is over, or if he's convicted, then he can appeal it to the appellate division. Then, of course, it can go to the federal system, and you can end up in the Supreme Court of your state and then the Supreme Court of the United States to make a decision. That will be years from now. Years from now. And what Alvin Bragg will do when he gets his conviction, because he will, because it's New York. New York is a very, very liberal place. They hate Donald Trump, the majority. New York hasn't voted for a Republican in many, many years, and they really don't like Donald Trump. So it's a foregone conclusion that it doesn't matter the case that they bring forward. Trump will be convicted. Simple as that. And then he can appeal. But in the meantime, the judge can put him in jail. While you're waiting for your appeal, you're going to go sit in jail, even if it's for a day or two. Or even if he says, well, you'll be sentenced to home detention. You have to go to your house and you can't leave for 2 years or 3 years, whatever. And even if Trump won the election, which he could still be elected, even if he was convicted and placed in jail or whatever, he could win. But it's not a federal charge. It's a state charge, you see? So the president of the United States can pardon anyone, and theoretically even himself, because he can pardon anyone, which would be another court case we would have to go through to adjudicate whether or not a president can pardon himself or herself if it was a female president for a federal crime, not for a state crime. Trump would not be able to pardon himself for a state crime. He could only pardon himself for a federal crime. Now, the governor of New York could pardon Trump because the governor has purview over the statutes and everything of the state. Right, so the governor Hochul come in and say, you know what, he's been convicted, but I'm going to pardon him, right? Or I'm going to commute the sentence, which means that it's over. The sentence is over. He's still convicted of it, but he doesn't have to go to jail. So all of these things are brewing in the background, and it's clear that this happened. And to answer Ted and Yankee Doodle Keith and all the people I heard on this news program the other day, there is no regulatory body that can step in here and go, hang on a second, this really stinks. This looks really bad. It looks like this was a coordinated effort. These people, these prosecutors are meeting at the White House with President Biden's team, and all of a sudden they come out with these indictments. The next thing, people are indicted and Trump's off the trail and they're going after Trump. And there's four cases all across the country. There is no power that can step in and do that, which this is where people are saying, well, this is like a banana republic. And the term banana republic refers to governments around the world that are corrupt, that are run by powerful little people who control everything. There's no rule of law. There is no real justice. There's whatever the ruler says, right? And that's why they call them banana republics, because a lot of them are in South America, because you have all these little dictators all over the place. And that's, it starts, you know, the kangaroo court is another term that people use, because there's, you know, the people that are in charge are the ones who are making the decisions on justice. Well, if I've decided to charge you with something, I'm certainly not going to turn around and say, well, you're not guilty. I'm going to make sure you're charged. In Putin's Russia, if Putin decides he doesn't want you running against him or running your mouth, he'll do one of a couple things. He'll charge you with some kind of crime and they lock you up and you off to the gulag you go. Or he'll poison you, or he'll send assassins to help you jump out a window. All these kind of things. This is what happens when you have a dictatorship. And that's what people are looking at now and saying, President Biden and all of his, we're here to protect democracy. In the meantime, in front of all of us, in front of all our eyes, They are going after a former president and a candidate of the Republican Party to run for president to get him off the stage, to remove him. And how can they remove him? They control the levers of power. They can go after him with the legal system, tie him up with it, cost him millions and millions of dollars, cost him his very freedom so that he can't go out onto the road, to put him behind bars, to shut him up and get rid of him. And I have to say that half the country seems to see this, and because they don't like Trump, they're saying, good, go get him, charge him with more stuff, even if it's corrupt, even if it's not right. Because the reality is this, if you can go after a former president, if you can go after Donald Trump, a high-profile individual, a very, very wealthy individual, a man with power, if you can get him, what do you think they could do to you if they came after you? Right? Trump happens to have millions and millions of dollars to pay all these attorneys and to fly back and forth. And what if they came after you? How would you defend yourself? Everybody says, well, I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm never going to do a thing like that. And that's my point. Maybe you're not going to have mistresses, porn stars, and have to pay them off. Maybe you're not going to run for president. But maybe you take a stand, oh, I don't know, on COVID. Or you take a stand on the things that are being taught in your local schools. Or maybe you go to school board meetings and people don't like you doing that. Oh, my gosh. You mean, what are they going to do? Oh, the FBI is investigating you as a terrorist. Maybe you go to protest, like all these other people do protesting, and they decide that that was a bad protest, and you're an insurrectionist, and they come and lock you up. How are you going to fight that, right? So therefore, you better just keep your mouth shut. You better not have an opinion on anything controversial. You better just go along to get along, or they're going to get you. Do you see how this can affect you at your level? And that's what's frustrating to people. That's what's frustrating to all of us that see this. Hey, if Trump committed a serious crime, if he did something, a real crime, well, then he should be held to account like any one of us, you know? But the reality is these things are made up, and they're made up for a political purpose. And it's the hypocrisy. I think I talked about this once before. Hypocrisy used to mean something. If you could point out that somebody was hypocritical, that they said one thing and did another, or they benefited themselves in some way and they lied, that used to be a disqualifying thing for someone. If you could show that they were hypocritical, their credibility would be ruined and they would be off the stage because they destroyed themselves by lying or being hypocritical or bending the rules to empower themselves or whatever. If you lied, you were done, right? If you lied, you were done. But not anymore. The rule of law only matters to those people who are in power and how they can use the rule of law against those that they don't like or who threaten their power. That is the problem. That's what the king used to do back in the day. You know, hundreds of years ago when we were trying to decide to be a country or a colonies, and we decided we were done with the king's rule because the king was arbitrary. King taxed what he wanted to tax, imprisoned who he wanted to imprison, kicked in your door and grabbed your stuff if he wanted to. And our forefathers decided that, you know what, this is not the right way to be, and they created our Constitution. And it was upheld for many, many years. We lived by the Constitution. You lived by the courts. The courts were not considered corrupt. Now, of course, there's always been corruption on small scale or big scale, but it didn't involve justice in most cases. There was justice, and then we all kind of agreed to the rules. No matter where we stood politically, we understood the court system was your refuge for justice. You could go there and you could get justice if somebody did something against you or your family or somebody you know politically and they used the law against you. You go to the courts and the courts would fix that. Now the courts are in on it. All right. This judge in New York is one-sided in favor of the prosecution. I was thinking that maybe that's an example. Say you had a brutal murderer who was up for prosecution, and we all saw the person commit the crime, and we know that they're the bad person. We know that they did it. And we saw the judge siding with the prosecution to get this person, because we all know they're guilty. They're a dangerous person. They hurt people, right? Maybe they killed children or whatever. And we would all be in favor of the prosecutor landing on them with 2 feet. Well, we can't forget the basic understanding. Even for someone who is reprehensible that does a thing like that, they deserve to have a fair trial and their rights protected. Because, not because they're a good person, right? They're not. They're a bad person. They did a terribly bad thing. But because the same rights and justice that applies to them will also apply to you if you ever got caught up in the system. So by popular opinion, we might not like that person. We might be angry with that person. We might want that person punished because for all intents and purposes, it appears they did commit this horrible, evil act. Well, that's public opinion. That's not the justice system. In the justice system, you want honest men and women who will look and attorneys up there to make their case that, hey, the government did the wrong thing in the charge. The government did the wrong thing in the investigation. The government, not because we want the killer to go free, but because we want to make sure that everybody has a chance for justice. That if the government made us, imagine if they came after you for something and they made a mistake, they did something illegal, improper, they got a confession out of you without giving you Miranda, or they threatened you in some way to give a confession. Wouldn't you want to bring that up in the court and have the court say, hey, whoa, this person may have committed this crime, but the government was improper in how they pursued that crime, and therefore the crime is out, it goes back to another court, or you have a retrial, or the person is released. Because we want justice for everyone, which links completely and directly to the saying that you probably have heard at some point in your life when they said, it's better that 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to prison. What we're looking at now is the one innocent man, Donald Trump. They're trying to put him in prison. They're trying to take away the choice of half the country. They're trying to affect the elections using the system. And there's nobody to protect you and me from that. And that is the problem. And that is why we should all be outraged at what's happening. So I hope that's a little bit of an explanation. When we come back, we're going to talk about these protests a little bit more.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
A when God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we are back. All right, so let's start off this part of our conversation by talking about the Healthy Cell products. Now, I take the Immune Boost. I've told you about that for a long time. But there's also Focus Factor to help you think more clearly. And then there's REM sleep. Now, it's funny. Who was it I was just speaking to the other day? My brother. I was talking to my brother. And he was saying that all of a sudden now he had a bad injury. And he had a rotator cuff surgery, and it came apart, and he has to have it done again. It's really miserable. But he says he's been having a really hard time sleeping, not because of the pain, not because of the injury, just, I guess, all the stress and everything. So I said, hey, you got to look at this this product from Healthy Cell. And he actually ordered some, and he got it, and it's probably been a month since he picked it up. And he says, hey, that stuff really works, man. I'm sleeping again. I'm feeling better, you know, even though he's still stressed out. So the Healthy Cell products, they're on the network here. Take a look at them. I use Immune Boost. It's kept me healthy for the last couple of years. And the sleep stuff helped people to sleep. And then the Focus Factor, you know, there's a lot of people that need help with their focus. So that product would probably help them. All right. So let's turn our attention to the protesters. Is it okay to protest? Yes, it is. Is it okay to support Hamas? Yes, it is. Is it okay to be against Israel? Yes, it is. Is it okay to go out in the streets and voice your opinion? Yes, it is. Is it okay to block traffic, assault people, damage property, break into buildings, take over buildings, on all of that as part of your protest? No, it's not. That's where the line has to be drawn. You can be an idiot and support a terrorist organization. You can be a horrible person and support murderer, child rapist, killing people, burning terrorists. You can support all of that. You can be an idiot and a horrible person and support that. But you can't do those other things. You can stand up and down. You can wave your flags. You can put on your hijabs or whatever it is that they're putting on. You can go out there and march in lockstep that you support the Hamas and these terrorists. But you can't block a street. You can't block traffic. You can't prevent an ambulance from getting up the street. You can't take over a building. You can't burn that building. You can't smash windows. You can't spray paint statues. You can't do those things. And that's where we have to understand. We have a right to protest. And I support those people who want to protest. I support the people who are in favor of the baby-killing rapists from Hamas. I support their ability to go out and say that they support that. I don't support what they believe, because Hamas is a terrorist organization and they did horrific things to innocent civilians. I don't believe in that. I believe that these idiots that are out there protesting have a right to protest. You know, that doesn't matter what they want to protest. They have a right to protest, and I support that. That's part of our rights as an American citizen. It's part of what we have access to redress grievances with our government, to make our voices heard. I agree with all of that. I understood that the people on January 6th were there because they were angry, because they believed that corruption had taken place. They were aggrieved that they think their government did something wrong to take away their choice, that it was a corrupt election. Now, you can believe it or not believe it, but I think they had a right to assemble and, like Trump said, to peacefully make their voices heard. Now, the idiots in that group that broke into the Capitol, that assaulted police officers, that damaged property, That's wrong. They weren't allowed to do that. So if they broke into the building, they should be charged with burglary. If they stayed in the building when the cops told them to leave, they should be charged with trespass. If they assaulted an officer, they should be charged with assaulting an officer. And we've been over this 1,000 times. Nobody in that group has been charged with insurrection. So how can they be insurrectionists when they've been charged with trespass, burglary, criminal mischief, and assault? They haven't been charged with insurrection, which is a charge. The reason they haven't been charged with that is because they're not insurrectionists. They were a bunch of idiots that allowed their protest to get out of control. And they committed some criminal acts in the course of doing that. And they should be held accountable for that. But I think they had a right to be there, to voice their opinion. When it got to the point of going into the Capitol, pushing past the police, they weren't allowed to do that. And they should be held accountable for that. While all of these people protesting at these colleges in support of Hamas, they might be idiots to support Hamas. They might be stupid and not understand the conflict that's going on, has been going on for years. They might be haters, and they generally do understand the conflict, and they don't care. They just hate the Jews. So they have every right to hate the Jews. I think they're wrong to do so. I think it's abominable to hate anybody, but they have a right to do that. They just don't have a right to do things to hurt people, take over buildings, burn things, destroy property. Once they do that, they stepped over the line and they have to be held accountable for their behavior, right? That's the big point here. You know, the idea of protest is built into our system. Doesn't mean you're always going to be right when you protest. Doesn't mean you're always going to be morally correct. Doesn't mean you're protesting for good reasons. But the reality is we're allowed to protest. We can't commit crimes while we're protesting because it's dangerous. It hurts people. You know, I like down in Florida, Governor DeSantis came up with the, you know, you can't block the highway. And if you feel threatened, you can drive through that crowd. Now, am I advocating people running people over with their car? No, I'm not. I'm not. I think that's a terrible thing. It's very painful. You could hurt people. People could be killed. But the remedy to that is don't be a jackass and block traffic on a highway. That's how you don't get run over by people who are scared that you're going to hurt them. So that's how you prevent that from happening to yourself. You know, you want to protest, stand on the sidewalk and wave your sign. Don't go into the highway and block traffic and assault people's cars and scare people. Because when that happens, they're allowed to protect themselves. Because the perception is that me and my family were in danger and I don't have to sit here and have you bust my windows out and grab my wife and children and me and beat us because you don't like who we are. So therefore, I have every right to protect myself and get out of there. And that might mean running over you to get away, right? You see? So there's common sense here, and that's what we're losing in many of these situations. We're conflating the right to protest with the responsibility to do it properly. Well, Joe, what's properly? Well, properly means not damaging buildings, not hurting people, not smashing things, not painting things, not knocking down statues. It means letting your voice be heard peacefully. Let your voice be heard. Stand on the corner. Stand in the park. Stand in the assembly area. Yell and scream. Now, I'm not naive, nor am I stupid. It's obvious that the reason protesters want to shut down traffic is because they want to demand that people listen to their point of view. Okay? If you are aggrieved, you want people to know about it. So there's a couple of levels here. You have... I want people to know what I'm upset about. Maybe I know something that nobody else knows, and I want to go out and make sure everybody knows it because I don't think what's happening is right. So therefore, I'm going to yell and scream to get attention and bring information to people. That's one motivation, I would think. The other one is, no one is acting on my concern, so therefore I'm going to get your attention by blocking your road, breaking your windows, setting things on fire so that you'll see me, you'll hear me, and you'll say, wow, this is serious. We better take this serious and do something about it. That's that. And then there are the agitators who are using protest as a way to create the societal change that they want to happen that society doesn't necessarily want to happen. this being the socialist groups, the Antifa, all these groups that defund the police people that want to get together and change the basic fundamental functioning of the American society to fit what they think is right. Now, the way to do that, and that's okay, that's legitimate. Again, you can be an idiot and believe in socialism or communism. You certainly have every right to do that and think that that's a better way to be. And you can certainly move us to that. And the way you do that, you run for office. You make your ideas known. You explain to me why it would be better that the government owns all areas of production, why the government should nationalize all of our industry, why that's better. Explain to me why that's better. Point it out to me. Show me how this has worked everywhere else it's been done and made life better for everybody. Show me that. And maybe I will say, you know, that might be the better way to go. Let's vote for that. You see, that's how you change people's hearts and minds, with persuasive argument. You present facts that show your point of view. This is why I think this would be a better way to be. That is what you do. And if people reject your ideas, well, then you have to move on, because we're rejecting your ideas. You don't get to make us by force or intimidation. You don't get to make everybody have to follow your point of view, because if you don't, we're going to burn your buildings. We're going to riot. We're going to loot. We're going to smash the place up. We're going to paint everything. We're going to deface the society. We're going to make it a place of chaos and danger for everybody if you don't do what we want. That is not the appropriate way to do things. It's just not. The right way to do is win the hearts and minds of the citizenry that you wish to change. Explain to them why your way is a better way. Give them examples. Show them where this has worked before. Educate them on the ideas, right? And that's part of the problem that we have, is that we're losing perspective on what we're supposed to do. People are saying, well, they have a right to protest, so therefore they have a right to smash and break, and they shouldn't be held accountable. And that's not correct. The January 6 people, they have every right to protest, to make their voices heard, to march around and ask for redresses of their government, of things they think are wrong. They don't have a right to smash windows, break into a place, assault officers. No, they have to be held accountable for that, right? That is improper protesting. So it doesn't matter the topic. Do you get where I'm saying here? It doesn't matter the topic. You can certainly protest and make your case for anything you want to make your case for, but you have to do it properly. So I have for a long time called for an understanding that if everything was in the best of all worlds, I would say there would be areas set up. People want to protest. Okay, we're going to take the park, right? The park, which is self-contained, and we're going to say you can protest in the park. Right? You can't protest on the street. You can't protest where you're blocking traffic. You can't protest by taking over a building. You can go to the park and you can scream and holler and wave all the flags you want and do what you want to do over there to make your voice heard about your topic, even if it's an idiotic topic, if it's a stupid topic, if it's a morally reprehensible topic, whatever it is. You'll do it in the park, and you'll do it between the hours of 9 and 5, right? You can't damage the park. You can't tear up the park. You can use the park. Or some other designated area to protest. Now, the problem with that is that the protesters would say, well, that war over there, nobody's paying attention to us. We want to be over here in the middle of the downtown, stopping the traffic so that they'll pay attention to us. I get that. And here's why I get that. If the government decided tomorrow, the United States government decided tomorrow that, you know what, everybody has to wear an RFID chip. So we know who you are. We know where you are. We're going to take everybody's photograph and we're going to have it in our database for facial recognition. And we're going to be able to keep track of where everybody is. That would be something that would be dangerous and reprehensible and a power grab by the government. And we would say, we don't want that to happen. And they'd say, okay, you're going to go over to the park over there and you can protest that. Yeah, but if we're protesting in the park, we're not getting your attention. So we want to be in the street. We want to stop the government function because we don't want this to happen. You see, so there's a reality of protesting. And it depends on the topic. is really what it comes down to, which side you're going to come down on. If we all believe that this is wrong, that something's wrong, whatever is going on is wrong, and we want to make an impact. You know, the Boston Tea Party back in the day, the revolution, that was an act of civil disobedience, that was crime, that was burglary onto the boats, that was theft, destruction of property, all to make a point, to get the attention of the people to see, look at this, and to get the attention of the king and his people to say, we're not going to stand for this, right? So you could say to yourself, well, that was correct in that instance, that led to the revolution. Well, think about that. Those actions that they took, making decisions back then that they wanted to shake off the king, get rid of him, and start our own country, led to a revolution, right? Which is a rebellion, which is an insurrection, and that's what the colonial people, our founding fathers, did, countrymen here, to throw off the king so that we could have our own country. They engaged in all of those things. So insurrection really is a determinate term by the people in power, that you're against me, you're trying to get rid of me, therefore you are an insurrectionist. And at the other end, if we look at it at that American Revolution time, sure, there were insurrectionists because they were citizens of the king of England. This was their colonies. This was their land, and these people were trying to throw them off. They were being insurrectionists to the king, and that was a problem. So, but it also served our purpose. See, so each one of these things, you have to look at it individually and see what is it, what's the message, what's the purpose of it, and is there a greater good, I suppose, you know? So these kids protesting and taking over these colleges and destroying property, they're taking the side, and I say that not in jest, but I don't think they really understand the conflict that's going on in Gaza. Nobody wants innocent civilians to be injured in this conflict. It's Hamas is a terror organization. They killed, raped, and murdered 1,300 people, and they've shot rockets, thousands and thousands and thousands of rockets, into Israel's civilian areas for years because they can't come to some resolution of their concern. So is their concern, are they freedom fighters, or are they dangerous combatants that are trying to hurt innocent people? And I think if we look at it, Israel is a recognized country. They are recognized as a legitimate country by the majority of the world, by the United Nations, by the United States. All the major powers recognize Israel as a country. Therefore, they have a right to exist. Many of the Palestinian people disagree with that. They don't think Israel has a right to exist, and that is why they are fighting Israel. That is why they have Hamas. That is why they have Hezbollah, who are fighting because they think Israel is wrong. So it's a conflict. So they're at war, technically, with Israel and the rest of the world that accepts that Israel is okay to be there. Right? So this is why everyone has to say, okay, listen, I know you think Israel shouldn't exist, but it does. We all recognize it. You are now a terror group because you're doing horrible, terrible things. You think you're a freedom fighter, but the rest of us do not, because you're not doing a legitimate cause. You're not going to get rid of this country. Could you imagine if a group of people decided that France should no longer be French government? It should be a different government. It should be, Nigerian. The Nigerian people decide, we control France, and we're going to go to France and take it over. France doesn't have a right to exist. Well, the whole world would say, no, that's crazy. Of course France has a right to exist. They're a country. It's an accepted country, right? You have no legitimate claim to go there. Therefore, you're a terrorist group. You're not a freedom fighter. So can we identify and make a determination on who's a freedom fighter and who's a terrorist? Yes, we can. Again, goes back to what? Goes back to the reason that the actions are taking place, and are they just or not? Now, I can understand completely that many of the people, the Palestinian people, believe that Israel should not exist, that it's their land and it should be Palestine. I understand that. I get that. intellectually, I can understand that's what they believe and that's why they're so upset. But the reality, and this is where common sense is gone, they're not thinking correctly, and all those who support them getting rid of Israel are not thinking correctly, in that that is not appropriate. That's not justice.
Well, Lieutenant Joe, they don't have justice because they threw them people out of their homes 100 years ago.
That was a worldwide decision made by the people in the world at the time to address a horrific thing that happened, the Holocaust, and to make sure that it never happens again. So a small piece of land was turned over and created the State of Israel. And everyone at the time, well, I don't mean every person, I mean all the governments at the time, legitimate governments, recognized Israel as a legitimate homeland for the Jewish people, and these are the boundaries. Now, since that time, now, was that difficult? Yes, it was difficult for some people who were displaced. There's no doubt about it. I can understand it. I get it. But we have to also look at sometimes the reality. I've told you many times before that in my lineage, there is a small amount of Native American here, right? My grandmother, my great-grandmother, and going back were Native Americans, and we think we understand it was Mohawk. We think that's who they were, Blackfeet Mohawk people. So it's a very small percentage of the blood coursing through my body, but I am still connected to them, right? The reality is when people look at that and say, well, the Europeans came over and conquered America and destroyed all the Native American people and tribes, and therefore they should have it back. Is there any chance anybody thinks, even these crazy wide-eyed liberal people who purport such things, are they going to give up their house and give it back to my ancestral people and say, here, all of Connecticut goes back to the Mohawk Indian and the Blackfeet. We're going to step out of our mansions in Greenwich. We're going to turn over the keys. We're going to hand it over to you, and it's all yours. Does anybody think that's going to happen? Because that would have to be the whole country. The whole country everywhere here would have to turn everything back over to the Native American nations. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody expects anybody to do that. Of course, there are idiots out there running around stomping their feet saying that's what we should do. And maybe in the bigger world, if we kept turning the clock backwards all across the planet for all of history, we might go back to the original people who popped up on each part of land and say it's all theirs. Everybody else get out. That's absurd. We're not going to do such a thing. There are realities. There are realities. There are boundaries. There's international law that's been set up to prevent chaos. You know, if Canada decided to attack upstate New York, for whatever reason, Trudeau says, we want all of upstate New York. We believe that was part of Canada 300 years ago, and we want it back. Or Mexico says, we're going to take Texas, right? And Texas and California really belongs to us. And they enter into an actual hot war, declared war against the United States to take back their territory. And the United States repels them back, not only to the border that they crossed, but another 100 miles in either direction. And the United States takes that land. Legitimately, they would be allowed to keep that, right? Just like when people attack the state of Israel, I believe it was Syria, attacked the state of Israel in the Golan Heights. They attacked Israel on legitimate land of Israel. Israeli army repelled them and then moved up another 20 miles and declared that land part of Israel, the Golan Heights, so they could protect their land. And that was recognized. That's what happens. If you attack someone, you can lose some stuff. So if a country attacks another country illegitimately, right, for no reason other than to conquest or whatever, you can certainly push back and you could take that additional territory. So does anybody think anywhere here in the United States we are about to give back California or Texas or give back upstate New York or whatever? Does anybody think we're really going to do that? No. Are there people who stomp their feet and say, well, it's unjust. You know, we took that from Mexico. It's really Mexico's. Well, That might be, and that might even be true. We might have inappropriately taken that land 250 years ago, whatever it was. We might have done that. But that is now settled. That is now settled, because you can't go on forever, or you'd be warring. Everybody'd be warring with everybody forever. Do you know that the Native American nations used to take over each other's territory? They used to commit war on each other. They used to kill each other, take their resources, take their people, murder everyone. You know they used to do that? Well, how can it be? They were just innocent people sitting around with a peace pipe. No, it wasn't. They were human beings that were engaged in the same things human beings have always been engaged in throughout time in every part of the world. There are people that interact with each other positively or negatively. And they were no different. They attacked their neighbors. They took land. They took spoils. They did things. The Germans took over, tried to take over the world twice, right? The Japanese tried to take over the world. And now the Chinese, we're seeing them now moving forward. Holy moly, what's going on here? It is the human condition. And that is why we have to make decisions, rational decisions. Doesn't mean everybody wins. Sometimes there are losers. The Palestinian people, they are not going to take over Israel. They are not going to turn that into their homeland and kick the Jewish people out. They're not going to do that. It's not going to be approved by the rational nations of the world. So therefore, the conflict that they are in constantly, causing their people death, causing their people to suffer, causing wars to erupt constantly, is not going to change their existence. What they can do is negotiate for a homeland. They can talk about what they're willing to take to homeland. The idea that they're going to take all of Israel is absurd. That is never going to happen. Now, of course, if Iran shoots a nuclear bomb and this whole war, then we resort their deck again, all right? So I'm not saying it never could happen. But in reality, in the real world, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And therefore, people are constantly living in poverty, living in difficult situations, because they cannot accept the world the way it is. And that is what rational people have got to do. We're not giving back California and Texas, right? So the people who believe they own that land are just going to have to deal with it, right? Just like the Native American tribes that were thrown out of New Jersey and all, and in North Carolina, they're not getting that back. No one is stepping out and saying, here, you take the land back. They have to deal with the reality that there is, because that has been the human condition forever. We might not like it. It might be unjust. It might be all those things. But we can't be at war every minute. All right? Now, we didn't get to what I wanted to talk about how to prepare for these protests. But I'll do another program on that, because the article is really, it's a self-contained piece where it describes a problem and then I offer solutions. Because if you're going to talk about problems, you better offer solutions. Otherwise, you just run in your mouth, right? Well, I appreciate everybody being out there. This is a difficult time for all of us. You know, we're going through a lot of conflict. We have a lot of different beliefs in our country, which way we should go forward, how we should do things. But we should all come together with one concept: justice, truth, and freedom are what should lead us forward. Otherwise, we are going to devolve into chaos, and none of us are going to get what we want. Remember, be a part of the solution, my friends, not a part of the problem. We'll see you down the road.